If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KKKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate His death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Thank God for the Mount Olive Choir. Whether it's a lot of them or just a few, they still do a great job. We have a lot of people, let's pray for them, that probably gone out of town, because I noticed we're a little late this morning. But let's pray for all of those who are perhaps traveling on the highway. And then I was informed, I want to pray for Sister Janice. On the loss of your sister. I'm sorry to hear that. Amen. Pray for her and her family and others who are experiencing bereavement in their families. To our associates in the person of Reverend Smith, our minister of music, Reverend Coleman, to our visitors who are sharing with us, let me say to you, whenever you can find time in your schedule, always feel welcome. Amen. To come and share with us here at the Mount Olive Baptist Church and our worship experience. And surely to the Mount Olive family. Yes. As I always say, God is good. Yes, he is. And His mercy endures forever. Today, as we move into this Memorial Day weekend on tomorrow, let us remember all of our servicemen, those who have served, and especially the families of those who have fallen, who have given the ultimate sacrifice, amen, for our safety, so that we might be able to be here free and safe, even though there's a lot going on. But I'd rather be in the United States than to be anywhere else. Amen. And we thank God for them. Now, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. Amen. The book of Nehemiah. Now, if you're not used to your Bible, look in your table of contents and see what page it's on. Amen. That's how you do it fast. Just look at the table of contents and it'll tell you what page it's on. I'm already there, so I already know. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 4, the Lord has us revisit certain things, and that ain't none of my business, that's His business. Amen. Amen. Chapter number 4, and Nehemiah. Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. Anybody need a little more time? Amen. Well, that's all right. Didn't look at the table content. There you go. And beginning at verse number 4, we're going to read. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. He spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down the stone wall. Drop down to verse number 7. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. I'm going to just stop there. And our subject comes from verse number 8. In the New King James Version, of which I read, it say create confusion. But in the Old King James Version, it says to hinder it. And I want to draw my subject from there and talk about hinderers. Hinderers. Let me begin by saying that, thank you, Aisha, that history revealed that whatever you try to accomplish anything significant for the Lord, you will face opposition. Why? Because Satan never bothers with half-hearted people who are content with a ho-hum spiritual existence. And that's why if you come on fire for the Lord, you better look out. Because the name Satan means adversary, meaning he's committed to opposing God and his people, and especially when they are zealous to exalt God's glory. Now, this is true on a personal level, because as long as a person lives with one foot in the world by living according to the world's values and the world's goals, Satan won't bother you. Meaning you can go to church, pray, and even read your Bible, and he still won't bother you. Why? Because as the old folks say, you straddle the fence in your commitment. Meaning you are not totally committed to anyone or anything. You're like a lamp with a dark shade on it. The minute you wake up from your spiritual lethargy, shake off the worldly mindset and commit yourself to radical obedience to Jesus Christ, you will encounter a spiritual opposition. Now, this is also applies to churches and church leaders, because whenever a pastor or leader attempt to rally God's people to advance his kingdom, opposition will come. Amen. Because Satan doesn't mind when churches gather to sing and hear soothing sermons about how to use Bibles to achieve personal success, because those churches don't bother Satan and his domain of darkness. But when a pastor preaches the gospel that convicts sinners out of their sins and points them to the cross of Christ, look out. When a pastor calls the flock to obedience, holy living in this wicked world, look out. When the pastor directs the vision of the flock toward the unreached in the world who are waiting to hear the gospel, look out. When the pastor tries to lead the church in building programs or whatever, get ready for opposition. And so a hinderer is anyone or anything that stands in the way of progress. Now, my subject, as I told you, came from the Old King James rendering that says, hinder, verse 8, and my Bible says they went to attack Jerusalem and create confusion. But the Old King James Version say to hinder it. But either word or words stands to say the same thing. It means someone standing in the way of progress. And so that's my subject again, hindrance. Now, the theme of the book of Nehemiah is the rebuilding of the wall. And so as we make our way toward the text, we have a lesson on how to experience victory in spite of opposition from the hindrance that's all around us. And so prior to our text, history reveals that King Nebuchadnezzar had attacked Jerusalem and took captives to Babylon, and he left the city in ruins. He set fire to the wooden gates that kept the city secure. He trampled graves and carried away Jews into Babylonian captivity. But by the time of the text, the Jews had been released from their captivity, and they had been back in Jerusalem for some 90 years. But now a number of the Jewish captives, though they were free, decided to remain in Babylon and Persia. And one of the main, one of these Jews, who's the main character in our text, by the name of Nehemiah, who remained, he was elevated to the position of cupbearer to King Artaxerxes, the monarch of Persia. Now, this was a very high position because the person who held that position had to taste the king's wine or whatever was brought to him to make sure that it wasn't poisoned. But it was while Nehemiah was in the palace at Shushan that he met with some of the brethren from Jerusalem who had journeyed there from the homeland. And like many who live away from their hometown, Nehemiah wanted to know about how things were back home. And so they told him that the remnant that was left in the province was in great affliction and reproach because the walls around the city of Jerusalem were broken down and the gates had been burned by fire, according to Nehemiah 1 and 3. Now, this news greatly saddened Nehemiah because, not like some folk, Nehemiah didn't forget where he came from. In other words, unlike some folk who leave home and they never remember family, friends, or those they left behind. But my brothers and sisters, it's not good to forget where you came from, especially since you've been saved, because you and I were once in the same shape as those that we left behind who are still lost. And that's why we must always remember where the Lord has brought us from, and go back to those that we left behind to let them know that the same Jesus who saved a wretch like you and me will also save them if only they believe and receive Christ as their Savior. And so Nehemiah, being deeply sensitive, was moved by the terrible condition of his love for his homeland and his love for God. And so he requested permission from the king to go back home in order to repair the city wall and restore the gates that had been destroyed by fire. Yeah. But now, once he arrived in Jerusalem, the first thing he told the people was that he wasn't sent to do the work on his own, but the hand of the Lord was upon him. For he had already declared in Nehemiah 2 and 20 concerning the rebuilding project, he said that the God of heaven will prosper us. Meaning he was already convinced in his heart that in spite of any obstacle or circumstance that may come against him and the workers who worked on the wall, that they would be victorious. Why? Because the Lord had already blessed them and given them the victory. Now this says to us this morning that if we are to continue moving forward, then every leader, every auxiliary, every member must believe within him or herself that the God whom we serve is able, and he will give us the victory in every circumstance if we commit to his will and not our own will. But let me warn us by saying that moving forward and doing God's will, just like in the text, opposition will come. In other words, expect some hinderers to show up. Because everybody doesn't have the Lord's agenda as a top priority. And that's why, because they're too busy trying to promote their own agendas. But as we move into the text, we see that the first attempt of the hindrance to hinder the work came in the form of ridicule and criticism. But we know that in verse 1 through 3, it revealed that Sanballat and his friends started out by insulting the people about their ability to rebuild the wall. They said, according to verse 3, in so many words, that little wall y'all trying to build is so weak that even a little fox will climb on it and knock it down. We said thus this morning that folk become critical as well as suspicious of change, even change that leads to progress and spiritual growth. But now I believe the main reason some folk resist change is because they see it as a personal threat. And they often become angry and try to block the progress of pending success. But now the thing that most critics fail to understand, like Sanballat and his friends, is that the wall didn't belong to them. It didn't belong to Nehemiah or the workers, but the wall belonged to God. And in the same way, the church doesn't belong to the pastor, nor does it belong to the members, but the church belongs to God. That's why Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Notice that he didn't say it, not the pastor's church or the deacon's church or the board's church or the choir's church, but he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? Because just like in the text, it was God working through Nehemiah and his workers on the wall, and it was Satan working through Sanballat and his crew to try to hinder the work. And my brothers and sisters, in our case, it is God working through the pastor that and other committed members of the church to move the Mount Olive Church forward, both physically and spiritually. And Satan is working through hinderers to try to block our forward progress. But I stop by to tell you, don't worry, because Satan's arms is too short to box with God. And I say to those who are committed to doing God's will, that the God of heaven will prosper us. And so like Nehemiah and his workers, in order to conquer criticism and hindrance, we got to constantly call on the Lord in prayer. But now this doesn't mean that we're to stop working and just pray, but we're to keep on working while we pray. And that's why, despite, yes, Lord, the ridicule and criticism, verse 6 of the text said that the people had a mind to work. Bottom line, if we are to be successful in the Lord's work in spite of opposition and hindrance, we must have a mind to work. And so the text reveals in verse 7 through 8 that when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the wall of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps or the holes in the walls were being closed, they became angry. And it says all of them conspired together to attack Jerusalem and hinder it. And so since the ridicule and criticism didn't work, these hinderers came together with another strategy. Remember verse 8 said they conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and hinder the work. And that's why, my brothers and sisters, you got to be aware of some folk. Yes, Lord, if you are one of those faithful and obedient servants to the Lord, one who support the work of the Lord, one who support the pastor and the work of the kingdom, because don't be surprised if you discover that the same folk who sit by you in church will get angry with you because of your commitment to Christ and his work. Why? Because hindrance dislike change, and you are part of that change and progress. In other words, they prefer things to remain the same so that they can stand out. But anybody can be a big fish in a little bit of pond. But it takes a special person to be a big fish in a big pond. But ever since hindrance are spiritually blind, carnal, and not spiritually discerned, they can't seem to understand that whenever God is in something, you may try to hinder it, but nobody or nothing can stop anything from succeeding that God is directing. Because whatever God is in, it will succeed just as sure as the rising of the sun. Now, you may not lack the sunrise because of yesterday's troubles, but there's nothing you or I can do to keep it from rising. And that's why you can go home and get in your bed, cover up your head, and even put a blindfold on your face. But when the morning comes, the sun is still going to rise, whether you see it or not. And so the text reveals that Nehemiah and his workers had conquered the insult and criticism thrown at them through prayer, persistence, and commitment. But now they're faced with another challenge of equal proportion, because not only were the hinderers angry, but they were coming to fight against Jerusalem in order to hinder or stop the work. And in the same way, when folk can't have their way with you, they'll conspire, yes, Lord, against you. Meaning hinderers will come together in little groups and plan out strategies of how to defeat you. Now, this can happen on your job, it can happen in the community, in the home, and especially in the church. You know, you can just about tell in a church meeting the folk who came to the church meeting to fight against something, because the folk who never sit together in the Bible study or in church, when they come to the church meeting, they'll come together and sit in little groups. Yes, Lord. Are y'all here with me? Even those who sit way in the back all the time, they'll come all the way up and sit in that little group. And so Henry said in verse 11, they will neither know nor see anything till we come in their midst and kill them and call the work to cease. Well, now, hinders today may not literally kill or murder you, but they will try and stop your progress by murdering a person's character and trying to kill their influence through lies and gossip. Many times, hinders will try to assassinate the character of the pastor through lies and gossip in order to run as many members as possible away and try to stop the progress of the church. But they fail to realize that despite the fact that they have conspired against the workers and the progress of the church, that God can and God will kill a conspiracy. But you wonder, why were these hinders so incensed against rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem? My brothers and sisters, because as long as the walls were broken down, they had access to the city and they could haul off all the resources whenever they wanted to. But with the walls fixed and the holes closed, they could no longer have access. And in the same way in the church, a whole lot of folk don't want to see the church structured and organized because they're used to going in and out doing as they please. And so in the text, when the hinderers saw the walls going up and the holes being repaired, they became angry and decided to fight against Jerusalem in order to hinder the work. They wanted to stop the work because their little playhouse was about to be destroyed. And so the big question is, what do you do about hinders? Because hinders are all around us. And the bad part about it is that some of them are disguised as friends. Which brings about another question, and that is, how do you recognize hinders? Well, now, hinders can be recognized by their verbal and nonverbal behavior, meaning you must watch the words and the ways of others, no matter how well you think you know them. Because if their words is always negative about the pastor, about preachers, other preachers, and about other Christians in general, that's a hindrance. If they always criticize everything and everybody, hindrance. If they always act as if nobody can do the job as well as them, hindrance. When they see someone else doing a good, great service for the Lord and the kingdom, but instead of complimenting that person to person, they only find fault, hinderers. My brothers and sisters, whenever you run into these type of people, you need to beware. Somebody might want to know why, because if you're not careful, you'll become just like them. But the question still remains, and that is, what do you do about hinders? Well, first of all, we must establish a prevailing partnership with heaven through consistent prayer. Because note verse Nehemiah 1:4 reveals that Nehemiah had fasted and prayed before the God of heaven before he started the work. Meaning he didn't start praying when the trouble came, but he was already prayed up before the trouble came. And that's why he was able to be victorious. And my brothers and sisters, I believe that's a word for somebody here this morning, or maybe somebody listening by radio. Don't wait until trouble comes to start praying, but you ought to pray when things are going good, and you ought to pray when things are going bad. And that's why the Bible says we ought to pray without ceasing. It also says men ought to always pray and faint not. Typical illustration can be seen in the story of three riders who had to cross a raging river. Well, the first rider rode up, jumped off his horse, fell down on his knees and made the sign of a cross, and he dove in the water, got halfway and drowned. The next rider came up and he jumped off his horse and he fell down on his knees and he said a prayer. Dove in the water, got halfway and drowned. Yeah. But now the last rider rode up and jumped off his horse. He dove in the water and he swam all the way across. Why is this? Because he was prayed up when he got there. And so in the first place, we ought to be prayed up before the hindrance come and trouble rise. Now, in the second place, it's important to stay on guard by watching and praying. Note verse 9 says, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night. Because hindrance shouldn't be taken for granted. And therefore, we got to watch and pray by fighting the good fight of faith, by remembering that the battle is not ours, but it is the Lord's, who promised in his word that he would fight our battles. If you note, verse 20 of our text declares, our God will fight for us. Well, finally, even when the task appears to be more than you can do, don't give up or give in like Judah in verse 10, who said the strength of the workers are failing and there's too much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. Because, my brothers and sisters, no matter how difficult the task, we must never give in to defeat, because we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthened us, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Note Ezra told the people in Nehemiah 8 and 10, he said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Yeah. But lest I hold you too long and somebody try to take a nap on me, hindrance may come and hinderer may go. Yeah. But I don't want you to forget that Jesus declared, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so as I try to move to the close, yes, Lord. Now, the most important question is, and that's a question that we must all ask ourselves, and that is, what category do I fall in? Because there are only two. You're either a hinderer or a helper. But in a spiritual sense, as a family walking together by faith, we should be walking together in Christian love by building each other up to be strong, faithful, and fruitful members in the work of the Lord. But to do this, you need to make sure that you're building on the right foundation. In other words, you got to make sure you're building your life upon the rock. And that rock is Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy endured the cross and despised the shame. Now,
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0900.